You're listening to KPCR 101.9 FM in Santa Cruz. This is Salt Lake Dirt with Kyler Bingham. Ben Davis is the director, co-writer, and producer of the film The Jellyfish Man, which I just had the chance to see. Absolutely loved it. And it was at FilmQuest just a couple weeks ago. And yeah, super excited. Ben, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I didn't get to make it out to FilmQuest, unfortunately. I really, really wanted to go. I love that fest. I've had other movies that have played there before, but it's really great to talk to you today. I'm excited.
Yeah, wonderful. So tell us about the film. Tell us about the genesis of it. Very intriguing. I feel like it was, I would have loved to have seen this in whatever shorts block it was in at FilmQuest, because I think it would have been like a nice... you know, there's nothing more disturbing than an unusual neighbor I've found in my life. And I feel like this would be a perfect, like a palate cleanser in a lot of ways to some of the other incredible films that are there. But I'm always intrigued how they place the shorts in sequence. I think they do. One thing I've seen at FilmQuest is they really clearly put a lot of attention into how the scheduling is done, and I feel like it just flows so well. So that would have been very cool to see. But tell us about the film. Tell us about the genesis of it and how the idea came to you.
Yeah, it's funny that you mention it being like a palate cleanser sort of a thing. I've noticed in all the different festivals that we've played at, like right after a block of really heavy movies, slide in the Jellyfish Man, which is great. Like I kind of like that's the moniker that it's built up in the festivals it's played at. But
yeah,
the Jellyfish Man itself kind of started as an exercise. I'm really good friends with Adam Hagenboo. He's my roommate. And then Gregory Bordelon and I have made several movies together. He plays Kincaid, the annoying neighbor. Well, you can debate which one is the actual annoying sure. movie, I think. We made a movie with Gregory a few years ago that was a proof of concept for a movie that I was pitching through my reps in L.A., and Adam Hagenboo just worked on that movie. He was like our sound guy and grip, because it was all thrown together very quickly. And he was watching Gregory act in this film and was like, I really want to do something with him. He's great. And so we started to talk about like what characters they could play and what we would have access to. And we were all in Dallas around the holidays. And we thought something that was like, what about Bob meets Home Alone would be kind of funny.
Yeah.
So that's sort of all fell into a blender there. And then as we started to take those genres that we liked, we talked more about our experiences, because we all grew up in the North Dallas suburbs. And it's just like a ridiculous place where everything looks the same, but everyone's afraid of each other still. And it makes no sense. So we kind of wanted to roast that a little bit and play with the idea of like, maybe what you should be most afraid of is your own reaction to things. That's sort of where it all came from. It was a hodgepodge of all of those conversations and those experiences of working with both of those actors over the years.
Yeah, and they just played so well off of each other. It was so, and I mean, I love that you said, what about Bob? Because, I mean, I got that feeling for sure. They were just such an interesting, very different polar opposites playing very well off each other. I thought it was great. So the jellyfish, I guess that's what intrigued me. And we don't, you know, this is coming out this week on what is it coming out on again?
Coming out on Amuleto, which is a YouTube curation of the world's best shorts. So we're super excited to be a part of their programming. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, that'll get a lot of eyes on that. So that's very cool. I the jellyfish element of it was just, you know, I wanted to know. I was just so intrigued at like someone like having a jellyfish as a pet.
Yeah,
tell me about that.
Well, we just started. It was a tricky balance here, because we wanted Kincaid, Spencer's neighbor, who Spencer's played by Adam. Kincaid is played by Gregory. And we wanted, you know, Spencer's like the guy who like is supposed to be the normal stand-in, right? Like he gets annoyed. But he gets too annoyed and becomes angry. So we were walking this line between like, what would be something that would genuinely annoy people? And then what would be like something that goes too far? So we were constantly talking about like, okay, if he's playing loud music, that's a pretty normal thing. And that's kind of how it starts. And then he sees pictures that he drew of his wife, and that's of course creepy as hell. Sorry, can I say that?
Yeah, that's fine.
But the jellyfish was just, we were thinking like, we want there to be something that is like attention grabby to the neighborhood. Like, you know, you have that one weird neighbor on every block and you're like, oh, that's the weird guy with 12 cats or that's whatever. So we thought like, oh, what if he was the jellyfish man? What if he like went on walks with his pet jellyfish that he kept in a fishbowl? That just seemed like a really fun thing. And in sort of more of the backstory of the story, you know, you find out more about Kincaid and that he might not actually be from here. And we thought, you know, someone from a different place might just think a jellyfish is a really beautiful thing and want to keep it around. And Kincaid is really a symbol and a totem of sweetness and innocence. He really doesn't mean ill by any of these things. He's just trying to make Spencer happy and fails at every turn. So yeah, the jellyfish just seemed like a really fun animal to make him for his pet. It was a really beautiful, really beautiful animal, and kind of symbolizes like the sweetness that Kincaid has and the danger that is in Spencer.
Yeah, I love it. And then, I mean, no offense to anyone with the name Kincaid, but it was just like, what a perfect name for someone who's annoying.
We thought that if Kincaid was from another place and he came here and wanted to name himself after someone, who better than famous painter Thomas Kincaid?
I love it. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone named Kincaid, but that is like it perfect. It describes... Yeah, it's exactly what I thought. Thomas Kincaid. Wonderful. Tell us about, the last couple of years, especially I've really gotten into short films I think during the pandemic when I was able to see a lot more of them through virtual film festivals, they kind of became my focus as far as like exploring filmmakers and seeing the work. And it just made me think about how difficult it must be to make a good short film, an effective short film, where you really do plop the person, the viewer, into this world, into this reality, because you don't have a whole lot of time, and the character development, as far as like the time crunch is very real there. So I'm intrigued with the writing process, like the actual sitting down, writing the characters, writing the dialogue, editing, like, you know, various drafts. Were there any things like you kind of ran into that were challenging, or things maybe you wanted to keep in the film, but you're like, this has to go because we have about 10 minutes here. And I guess my point is, like, I found the characters like very believable, very like real, even in the fantastical sense with Kincaid, still believable. But it just always struck me that it's got to be such a challenge to write in that capacity where you really have to, every scene means so much, more so than a feature film, because you really don't have, you know, the element of a slow burn when you're making a short film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot to talk about there. Personally, I am not great at that side of it. I'm not a great short film writer. My background is in features. So I've written a bunch of features and pitched features in Hollywood. And that's what I'm used to. I'm used to setting up big story arcs where you have that time. And, you know, I really love crafting the beginnings of movies. And my problem is when I go write a short, I tend to write the short as the beginning of a movie. Yeah. Gregory loves short films. He's the co-writer on this and co-producer, and he plays Kincaid. And so my first draft was very much running into all the problems that I think some of the worst short films do, where it tries to cram a feature into a short. And Gregory said, no, we need to make this just about these two guys. We need to make it just one night. He very smartly convinced me to change all those things for the short film instead of trying to put all these ideas that we had into one thing that I think would have muddled it. So he really deserves the credit for helping craft the big idea into the short film. And then for the editing, there's actually, you know, I talked about earlier this balance between like we want to make Spencer, we want his anger to be justified, but we also want him to go too far. And we want Kincaid to feel weird, but not too weird. So that was like a really fine balance. There's a line or there's a scene that we cut from the movie that was supposed to be like one of the very first scenes we see, where Spencer is kind of in a suit and he's in his office at home and he's like wheeling and dealing on the phone. And he just looked like a really big jerk. And it made us hate him instantly. So we cut that scene completely just because it kind of kept us from feeling his frustration when Kincaid wakes him up. The dream sequence was not a dream sequence at first. That running stuff happened at the beginning of the movie, but it just felt better to make it a dream sequence. And all of that goes to my editor, Tyler Hyatt, who's a writer himself as well. He's not afraid to, he'll give me basically like two cuts of the way that the script was written and the way that we shot it. And then he'll be like, I think you can see that some of this isn't working. We'll be like, yes, Tyler, thank you. So then he kind of, chops and screws it in a different way. And we give him the liberty on, you know, the third or fourth draft to be like, just do whatever. And then we'll pull it back and kind of straighten it out. So there's a lot of creative cutting that is not in the script that that became the story. You know, there's the old saying, you rewrite the movie three times when you shoot it, or when you first write it, when you shoot it, and when you cut it. And that's definitely true in our experience, for sure.
Oh, that's great. So tell me about your background. So you're from Texas originally. Always interested to hear about their origin story. When did you become interested in film? What did that look like for you? What were some maybe filmmakers or films that you gravitated towards when you were younger? And then just kind of how you took the leap to start making your own stuff.
Yeah. So I grew up in Dallas and I was the oldest of four kids. And my parents were, we were very like middle class, lower middle class. So we didn't have a ton of money, but imagination is free. So we watched a lot of movies. My grandfather was a big cinephile. He would have like all of the ABC movie of the weeks recorded on VHS. So I would watch them all there and then be like quoting On the Waterfront and then like quote the Tide commercial that comes after, the I'm a Contender line, just because I thought it was part of the movie as a 6-year-old. So I was sort of that weird, like, precocious 8-year-old who had watched all these Elia Kazan movies and stuff like that. And then I started making movies just because it was basically playing pretend. I was like very much like the Super 8 kids, from J.J. Abrams movie. Mm-hmm. We were running around with monster makeup, making movies, that sort of thing, just because it was fun. And, we didn't have the new PlayStation or whatever in our living room. So we made our own fun. And it all kind of came from that. And the movies I grew up loving, I kind of got like the film snob side from my grandfather, like I talked about. But I also, it's very cliche. It was Star Wars, Indiana Jones, all the John Hughes movies. My parents went to high school and college in the 80s. So mm-hmm. I was born in 1989 and I grew up on the 80s, basically through the 90s. So all those movies are things that I love and will forever probably be influenced by them. So,
yeah, that's great. And then you did make the move to Los Angeles eventually, mm-hmm. which is always can be scary. Tell me about that. I always love hearing about people's, whether they go, they decide, okay, I need to get out of where I'm yeah. living right now, where I grow up. I need to get to LA or New York or wherever to kind of make this thing, give it a fighting chance.
Yeah, it was always kind of the goal. I knew I wanted to be a filmmaker when I was like 7. So I feel lucky to have had that clarity. I went to film school at Baylor in Waco, Texas. A lot of the people that worked on the movie are people that I went to film school with, our DP, our AC, several of our grips. It's a great film school. But after that, I was a set PA in Dallas for 2 or 3 years. And you just really get caught up in it. And when you're a PA, you work really long hours. You don't sleep. You don't have time to really like write or make your own stuff. And that really started to grind me. So then I kind of switched to being an editor, and that allowed me a lot more time to write. I wrote a pilot in 2016 called Watch the Skies. That was the number one pilot on the Blacklist website for 4 or 5 months. Nice. through that, I found my now manager, Adam Rejwan. And around that same time, I was starting to direct more and more commercials. So it just made sense at that time to move to LA. And then I've started, you know, taking what they call the water bottle tour, where you go and you meet like a bunch of executives who are like, we liked your stuff, but we don't want to buy anything. and then start, you know, just doing all of that stuff, pitching and taking meetings and things like that. So it was kind of that script and a mixture of all those frustrations that got me out to Los Angeles, but it was always the goal and I really love it here. So,
yeah, no, that's so cool. And I always wondered about the Blacklist because I don't think I've talked to anyone that has been on it before. So that's so cool hearing that that actually paid off for you. You were able to get management based off that. Very, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I should clarify. It was not the like the Blacklist that all the executives post. It was the Blacklist website where you upload your own script and then you get coverage. And honestly, I was expecting them to rip it to shreds because I had written features, but I had never written a pilot before.
Uh-huh.
And then the scores it got back, it got an 8 out of 10 and a 9 out of 10, which gets you like free reviews. And I kept getting high scores, much to my delight and surprise. And then it just stayed at the top for 4 or 5 months. And I was able to kind of leverage that and reach out to managers and find someone who's really supported me very well. So,
no, that's wonderful. And, so back to the Jellyfish Man. So it's kind of done, you've done some film festivals, I'm assuming. And now you kind of like that's wrapped up because it's coming out. What are your hopes? I know it's like when you put something out into the world, it can be, it's exciting. It's kind of nerve wracking, especially like in an online capacity, because it's like, you're not seeing who's seeing this. It's almost, it's gotta be kind of strange in a way, but you know, a lot of people are going to be seeing this now. And you know, we'll have links on our end to direct people to where they can see it. But you know, you have this built-in platform with this, you know, Best of Shorts, on YouTube here. Tell me about like, what do you, in a perfect world, like what do you want people to get from the film? What do you want people to, you know, I don't know. What would you love to see? Like, you know, you've seen it with audiences, maybe, the first time you saw this with an audience of people you didn't really know, what were you feeling in that moment?
Yeah, so the first festival I saw it at was the Urey International Film Festival, which is a wonderful festival in Southwest Colorado that I really love, and I'm a big supporter of that fest. They do a really great job of bringing filmmakers to that fest. So it was a crowd full of filmmakers that I really respected, who make much more serious movies than I do. so I was a little worried about how that was going to play. And The Jellyfish Man is a dark comedy, so there's moments that you're not sure if people will laugh at or not and things like that. But thankfully, we heard a lot of laughs and sighed, a big sigh of relief. And I guess we really just want people to enjoy the movie. It's a really fun movie. We didn't take ourselves too seriously while making it. We had a lot of serious discussions about what would motivate these characters and about mental health and about growing up in the suburbs and what that was like for us. But we didn't want to be heavy-handed with that. We just kind of wanted to let that rest in the backdrop of the movie. And it's the holidays and things are a little stressful. And this is a holiday movie. So really, we just want to give people like 11 minutes of watching two people kind of self-combust and be thankful that they're not either one of those two.
Yeah, I think that's what I got from that, definitely. Well, perfect time for this film to come out, like around the holidays. I think that's like the timing is impeccable. I think people will really enjoy it. Any places people can follow you on social media to keep up to date with what you're going to be working on in the future and just more about The Jellyfish Man?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at this.bendavis. And you can follow my company, Antrim Stories, A-N-T-R-I-M Stories, on Instagram as well. That's where I'm the most active. I actually just produced a movie that Gregory, who played Kincaid, directed and wrote. That'll be coming out sometime next year, called Pocket Boyfriend. So we're excited about that. It's a lot of fun stuff, and I appreciate all the follows and shares. The three best things you can do to help the movie is, one, watch all 11 minutes. Don't just watch that. So
yes,
I hate doing this part of the interview, but like, it's very important that people know this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like clicking it and giving a thumbs up actually doesn't help very much. We really need people to get on to the link and watch the full movie. And if you can, if you do like the movie, please give us a thumbs up, and also please leave a comment. Those things really help drive traffic to the movie, especially within the first 24 or 48 hours. And that goes for any filmmaker. If there's a friend of yours who's releasing a movie online, those are the easiest ways you can help, honestly.
Well, this is definitely an easy one to watch all 11 minutes. I enjoyed it the whole time. So
thank you.
Yeah, Ben, thank you so much for being here today. It was great meeting you. And I'm a fan of the film, so definitely will do anything I can to help promote it. We'll have links to where this comes out Tuesday, the 28th of November, 2023. So we'll have links to where people can check that out as soon as the film goes live. Ben, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here. I appreciate all the support for the movie.